Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
I feel pretty.
Oh, so pretty.
Oh, so pretty.
Love it.
How are you guys? I just said you guys.
Yeah, I know.
Like you and Matt were both in here.
Yeah.
Where's Matt?
Mitch is in the other room, and like that's who you were looking at, so I felt like you were talking to me and her.
Hey. Hey, guy, girls.
Hey, Mitch, how you doing? Good? Yeah? Cool, man. What? I can't read your lips. You just got one-word answers.
Where's a lot of Mateo?
He walked away with Max from Astro Zombies. Go up and get some coffee from our wonderful coffee shop, Solomon's Porch. Yeah. He's not around.
Hmm.
Yeah. You're going to have to deal with her. You okay? Yeah? So awkward. Oh, awkward. Okay. All right, moving on. Okay, so...
Okay, now that we've done that...
It is Wednesday morning or Sunday evening, which means it is time for Shock Therapy Live, our one-hour call-in show. You know, if you didn't know this, we rebroadcast our entire program on Sunday evenings. We have something called Static U. Pastor Levi Lusko rocks it for a teaching. You're on there for Shock Therapy, your 26-minute teaching program from Renovate. We do Shock Therapy Live. It's a great evening to... Man, just hone in on the Word of God and sharpen yourself. Ravi Zacharias, your dad's on there. We've got a good lineup, dude.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's every Sunday night starting at 6 p.m.
We used to be live on Sunday nights.
We were, yeah.
For a while.
And then we were like, why are we doing this? Kids
it was fun.
And life. And
it was fun, but it was
tiring. It was fun. I agree. It would be very... Man, if we could, I know we would do this like every day. But unfortunately,
I would not
there's
do
life,
this every day.
There's so much happening.
Not because I don't like the show.
Yeah.
I think more because of the life and stuff like that.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good hour, so.
It's fun.
And
dude, last week was a great show. We had some great questions.
Yeah. Entire packed. And so, we enjoy it. It is your hour. So please utilize it.
We want to talk to you about what you want to know about. You know, that's what this whole show is centered around. The concept is there's no subject that is too touchy or too, you know, iffy for us to talk about. Anything you want to talk about, we'd love to talk about it with you. And, you know, try to find an answer to it. We're not promising that we have the perfect answer. But we'll, definitely talk to you about it and try to get down to the bottom of it and give you a biblical perspective on it.
Yeah. Because if the phone lines don't fill up and we don't get email questions, I'm going to inevitably talk to you about, a movie controversy that's out right now that I really want to hear your opinion on.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Okay.
Is it the Son of God stuff?
Yes.
I want to hear about it.
So we'll probably end up touching on that anyways, because I feel like it's important. Teo and I have not had a chance to see it yet, but I think because of all of the crazy that's surrounding it right now, like I'm kind of hands off anyways.
Yeah.
So you've seen it, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
You haven't? You didn't go see it?
No. So we had the tickets because
right.
You know we had a bunch of free tickets they gave us.
Yeah.
And we were scheduled to go Friday night, and then my wife got really sick, so we had to cancel. We weren't able to go. And I mean. This is the thing. I like supporting Christian movies and especially a movie that's focused on that. But my wife and I were like, do we really want to go pay to see that? No, we want to go see something else. And so, you know, I have a hard time, with some faith-based movies.
Yeah.
Because.
You better be careful, man. I'm telling you, the people came out of the woodwork today when I was like, we haven't seen it yet, but one review from Christian Post, like, slammed it. And then in turn, everybody came out of the woodwork, and it's been like this fight as if we're fighting over the gospel or something. Which...
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. A lot of people feel like they are.
Right.
A lot of people feel like they are fighting for that. And so that's what becomes so heated. And it becomes a really, really touchy subject. But I was talking to my dad about this the other day, and I think one of the issues that a lot of people have is they say, well, you know, it's not completely accurate. And to those kind of people, I would say it's a 2-hour movie that you're trying to fit an entire book into.
Right.
Those same people that complain about that complained about Harry Potter when they said the movie wasn't accurate to the book. Well, of course not.
Right.
You're fitting, you know, a huge book into a 2-hour movie. You're never going to be able to do it true historical justice because you're trying to fit so much into so little. So, you know, what happened is, Mel Gibson was brilliant by doing The Passion of the Christ because he was able to accurately represent the crucifixion.
Right.
He didn't even really focus on the resurrection except for the very end scene. It's like, oh man, Jesus rose from the dead. But he spent, you know, 2 hours and 30 minutes just looking at the crucifixion. So he was able to do it justice.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing that I've heard a lot of people say, my dad in particular too as well, is he's like, man, for me, it was Jesus of Nazareth. That was like the movie about Jesus. It was 8 hours long. The Pope commissioned it. Yeah. It was like an incredible film that did historical justice because it's 8 hours.
Right.
You know? So if you really want to do it justice, you have to do it in multiple movies. Otherwise, you've got to just accept there's going to be certain things that aren't going to be in there.
Yeah.
There's going to be certain things that are rushed.
Yeah.
There's going to be certain things that are told in a quicker fashion and version to get the main plot and the main storyline across.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
Yeah. We should go see it.
We should. It'd be fun.
Actually, I kind of don't want to because I feel like we'd be in the back all Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing it. And I want to give in. I want to see it. But at the same time, I've heard so much good and then so much negative that it's like I almost can't go now without having all that baggage with me.
I feel like people should have gone to it like they did Star Wars dressed up as like Jesus characters. Like people in line dressed up as Romans and someone dressed up as Jesus, and then some random guy dressed up as Darth Vader. And like, wait, I thought, no, wrong movie? Okay. Would have been great.
It would have, because the funny thing is, you've got Star Wars nerds, you've got Lord of the Rings people that are so passionate about those books and movies that they're willing to do stuff like that, and you don't see that with Christians.
Totally.
Yet, now you see them freaking out going, no! Word of God!
Dude.
This is wrong! Or, no, this is right!
You would have had that one, you know, crazy chick comes dressed up as Mary Magdalene, all scantily clad, like, oh, see, even Bible costumes.
I'm in character.
You can have Bible Halloween costumes
you are
that are
prostitute.
Sexy. Right?
505-338-3700 is the phone number to Shock Therapy Live. We definitely want to hear from you. We want your input, your thoughts, your questions. Or if you're interested in the Son of God topic, we did post an article on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Talked a little bit about it during the morning show. Not too much because, like I said, we haven't seen the film, so we really can't say either way, but if you want to chime in on that as well, feel free.
Yeah, I will say this. The only thing I've seen is the preview.
Yeah.
And there's one line in the preview that drives me nuts. And that is when Jesus is in the boat with Peter, mm-hmm. and they pull in all the fish, and he's like, Lord, what are we going to do? And he says, change the world. I'm like, that's not in the Bible. He says, we're going to be fishers of men. Just say the stinking line. It's an easy line. It's quick. It's not a long monologue. Just say, we're going to go freaking get some men. Like, come on. Why do you got to do this? We're going to change the world.
Well,
this is why I hate that. There's a lot of lines you can change that Jesus said, and people won't know because they really don't know the Bible. That's one of those lines that, like, every Christian knows. Like, we're going to be fishers of men. Just say it.
I've heard that it's kind of like Christopher Walken's The Dead Zone, too, where Jesus will go and, like, touch somebody and then know, like, freaking telepathically. I guess there's one moment where he, like, telepathically speaks to somebody. I'm like, wait, what? Like, X-Men? That's kind of awesome.
I didn't realize
we served a God who's an X-Men. Well, he is. He's the X-Men because Christmas, Xmas.
Oh, my gosh. That's
right?
Cheesy.
It means Christ.
That's bad.
So he's
just
the X-Men.
That. Stop it.
Charles Xavier, Christos Xavier. Oh, crap!
Okay, see, this is why.
X-Men!
This is why we shouldn't do Shock Therapy Live after Comics Corner. Because you have, like, crazy, like, Marvel Universe coming into Jesus. Just go freaking read your Action Bible, your comic book Bible, and I'm going to do this show and answer real questions.
Oh, man. 505-338-3700.
Did you hear what Jimmy Fallon said the other night on...
No.
So Jimmy Fallon was talking about the Son of God movie, and he said, so, you know, Son of God's out. He's like, you know, don't ruin the ending for me. Please don't give me any spoilers. I haven't seen it yet. And then he says, you know, some people are complaining about the movie because they say that Jesus is too attractive. He looks like a model. To which Jesus responded, what's that supposed to mean? That's a good one, isn't it?
That is
I
a
like
good
that
one. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Fawn.
Hi.
So I am one of the leaders at, like, an FCA at Manzano High School.
Right.
Awesome.
And I guess I just wanted to, like, ask for your guys' prayer and stuff, because, I don't know, it's really hard, like, going to, like, high school.
Right.
Especially a public high school and stuff.
Totally.
And I wanted to know what, like, any advice you guys have or anything, like...
How to survive high school.
Especially as, like, a leader at a high school, like, a leader at a Bible group and stuff like that, and I want to represent Christ in a godly way and stuff like that, so...
Yeah.
Man, great question. Steve-O, when did you really accept Christ? When did you really start living for Christ?
Well, see, that's the thing. I grew up in a Christian home, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yada, 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 yada. And so when I was 6 years old, I accepted the Lord, and I walked with them, and I read my Bible, and I, you know, did all those things.
But did you live for Christ in high school?
But I did not live for Christ in high school. You know, come mid-school, I fell away. I went to church every Sunday. I was the quote-unquote Christian. You know, I went to church. But then I just kind of did whatever I wanted. And it wasn't until 2001. Yeah. Wasn't until 2001 when I truly surrendered my life to Jesus.
I'm the same way. I'm in the same boat. You know, high school was rough for me.
Yes.
I really fell away from the Lord. You know, I didn't get crazy. Like, I'm not like, you know, I got six girls pregnant. I was like doing coke behind the gym.
None of
like,
that.
I wasn't going crazy.
Right.
But I was going to parties. You know, I was drinking. I was, you know, kissing girls. I was doing things that I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, I had a filthy mouth. I was disrespectful. I was not a good kid. And on top of that, I went to a Christian high school, so I can't relate as much to the public high school. When I moved to California, I went to a public high school. I went from a small school at Hope Christian to one of the largest schools in Southern California of like 6,000 people. And I was there for one semester and I left. I went to a private school again because it was so rough.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I think the concept of just living for Christ in a fallen world is the same.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's high school. Now, high school, granted, high school, I'm with
animal.
You. High school's rough to it go
is.
Through. It's hard to go through.
Especially as a Christian.
Yeah.
In this culture, in this day and age.
But I have seen some kids who have an incredible head on their shoulders. They know what they believe. They're not pushed around by peer pressure to do things that they shouldn't do. And so I think the concept is that we have to be a light in a dark world. And I think Paul says it the best when he says, be in the world but not of the world. And I think right now you're representing that really to a T. You are in this public high school. You're a part of this public high school. I'm sure you're involved in extracurricular activities. If you're FCA, you're probably involved in some kind of sports at the high school. And so I view you as being someone in the high school, but at the same time, you're not of the high school. You're not of that worldly mindset. And so I think programs like FCA, where you can meet other Christians, I think that's huge because we weren't meant to go through life alone. And if you go into public high school without some strong Christian friends that you can talk to at lunch, you can talk to after school, you can hang out with, if you don't have those people, you're inevitably going to get sucked in to the kind of people you shouldn't hang out with. And that's what happened with me. I didn't have a really strong group of Christian friends. Again, it was kind of like nominal Christianity. And so it caused me to just fall into other things and do things that I shouldn't do because I didn't have a really strong backbone of Christian friends.
Yeah, and I would echo that. And I would also say, because in high school, you know, there was the very emotional few weekends where I would go to Frontline at Hoffmantown and I would hear something and I would be super convicted and be like, that's it. I'm not sleeping with my girlfriend. I'm never drinking. I'm going to represent Christ well. And there would be like a month or two where those emotions were running high and I'd be like, yeah, right on. I'm living this because I'm a Christian. And then through peer pressure, through day to day not living for Christ, those emotions would fade. And I'd be like, yeah, screw it, you know, and then I'd go right back into the things I would do. So one thing I would absolutely tell you is you got to be grounded in the Word of God, because I know at the teenage years, it is such an emotional time. And so I kind of, for me, would flow with my emotions so much so that if I was at church and I was hanging, it was like, yes, this is what I'm doing. But I didn't necessarily truly believe that. I think it was mostly emotional for me. So I would go with my emotions, and after a certain amount of time when those emotions faded and I had my non-Christian friends who were like, nah, bro, it's like this, who cares, live, YOLO, I would in turn just kind of fall away. And so being grounded into the Word of God, having those friends around you that can then be there for you, that can be those unshockable listeners when you are going through things, because you're still going to struggle. You're still going to go through things. It still sucks being in high school as the Christian that's getting, you know, I, I, I'm careful to use the word persecuted because there's people overseas, there are people all over the world who are truly being persecuted for their faith. But you are being judged, you are being made fun of, and there are times where it's rough. You've got to go to the Lord, you've got to go to those friends that you trust in, that you believe in. And I would also say this, I remember those at La Cueva who were the quote-unquote Bible thumpers, if you will. They were the dudes that were like solid. They were the dudes that I saw week in and week out at church and would ask me the hard questions because I wasn't living right, and yet I was there and saying, yeah, I love Jesus. I think the ones that were kind, that were forthright with me, but were gentle, were the ones that I still remember to this day. I still remember their words, and I still remember the way they treated me and the way they treated others. So I would also say that in high school, it is a very rough place to be, and people are gonna say stupid things, people are gonna be rude. You can't let those emotions overwhelm you. So I would take you to Colossians and remind you that we are called to be gracious to outsiders. Mm-hmm. Be gracious, yeah, always. Seasoned with salt. So speak the truth, but being gracious and loving, and by that love, by the way you live your life and how gracious you are, that is the way people will see Jesus through you.
Yes.
Not by standing on a cafeteria table and screaming, repent, you're all going to hell, and yeah, you know, I'm separate from you and I'm better than you because I'm a Christian. And so for me, in high school, there was the quote unquote Bible thumpers who would do that very thing and just kind of be outlandish and crazy and disassociate themselves. And it wasn't like a cool club. It was like, man, those are the crazies.
Yeah. You know, take a lesson from Jesus. We never see Jesus standing on a hill and telling a bunch of non-believers, you're going to go to hell. We see him yelling at the religious people.
Yeah.
You know, the people that we see Jesus be really stern and really harsh with are the religious people who, you know, claim one thing but are living another.
Yeah.
So to those who were truly stuck in immense sin, Jesus showed great love.
Compassion.
And he showed compassion.
Yes.
Yeah. You never, you know, you don't see him coming up to, you know, the prostitute who's about to get stoned. He's like, man, you know what? You deserve to be stoned. You're a filthy sinner. And when you die, guess where you're going?
Right.
You know, we don't see Jesus doing that. We see Jesus showing her love, you know, picking her up from the places she's at, and showing her kindness and compassion.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to show that same level of compassion and love.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for you as well as a leader within a Christian group in a public high school to, again, to have a very strong head on your shoulders and understand a few things. Number one, know what you believe.
Absolutely.
Be able to articulate what you believe, what the Bible says. And number two, know why you believe it. You know, because as a leader in a Christian group, people are going to ask you questions. Well, why do you believe that? Why? What if you're wrong? You know, what about this? So know what you believe and know why you believe it. You can get a couple of great books. There's one by Sean McDowell and Josh McDowell called Unshakable Truths,
yeah,
I think is what it's called. And it talks about the unshakable truths that we as Christians hold dear, what we believe and why we believe them. It's a really, really great book. I actually endorsed it. A really, really good book. Check it out. Pick it up.
Yeah. Okay.
That can really help you with that. And then third, I would say know what you believe, know why you believe. And number three, I would say know how that belief should affect your life.
Yeah.
Because if you truly know and understand what you believe and you understand why you believe that, then that truth should affect the way you live, should affect your lifestyle, should affect how you treat people, should affect the way you carry yourself at school. So know what you believe, know why you believe it, and know how that truth should change you.
Yeah.
And if you have that understanding, then it's going to be a lot easier for you on a day-to-day basis to go to school, to be involved in school, to be involved in Christian clubs, and to get through it with a strong relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Does that help? Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Can I ask you another question? Or
yeah, sure. Shoot.
So yesterday at this Bible study, a girl came in, and she's from a Mormon family. Grew up in the Mormon church, but she is taking the Bible literature class, and she was interested in seeing the Bible from a non-Mormon view, not just the Bible as a historical book. And
awesome.
She's super quiet, and she's, I don't know, she's just really quiet, and I don't really know how to, I guess, talk to her and break her out of her shell.
Yeah.
Like,
well, what kind of shell are you trying to break her out of? Like breaking her out of Mormonism?
I think she's talking about her. She's really quiet. She's soft
spoken. Okay.
Yeah. She's just, well, she wants to like follow God, and that's really cool, but she doesn't want to, I don't know. She's just super quiet. And what, like, suggestions would you guys have? Because I don't know anything about the Mormon Church. Like, I'm not.
So the first step is to learn about the Mormon Church. Because you don't want to go into a conversation with her unequipped to be able to answer questions that she might have. Because if she really is searching for God, she's going to have questions. And what's going to happen is she's going to ask you the questions. And if you can't answer it, what she'll do is she'll go to the next best person, which is probably her church. She'll probably go to the Mormon church and ask them questions. And they'll give her answers that are skewed and they're not given from a factual perspective. And then that's going to sway her. So you've got to have answers. When she's ready to ask questions, you've got to have answers for those questions. And so, again, there's some really great books for that. Over here at Calvary, we've got Parchment's Bookstore, and you can pick up that Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell book I was talking about, and also some great books on Mormonism and what they believe, why some of their beliefs not just are scripturally or spiritually wrong, but why some of their beliefs are just downright historically wrong and inaccurate. And they can have some really great answers in there. So what I would do is I would really study up and learn what they believe and learn the fallacies within that belief system. Once you know that knowledge, don't go to her and say, hey, I want to let you know why you're wrong. Don't do that.
Right, no.
This is what you do. What I would do, the way to start a conversation is just go up and ask her, say, hey, I want to talk to you. Can we go for coffee sometime? And just invite her to coffee. And she's quiet, but hopefully she'll accept that invitation. When you get to coffee, just simply ask her, hey, what do you believe? What is your belief system? And start asking her about that. And what you're going to find is either A, she knows what Mormonism believes, and then you're going to be able to talk to her and explain to her in a loving way why that's wrong. Or B, you're going to find out that she's a Mormon by birth, but she really doesn't know what she believes. And if that's the case, then you can say, hey, I just want to let you know, because I've done some research, and these are some of the things that the Mormon Church teaches, and I want to present it to you and see what you think about it. See if you think that it's true. See if you think that it's right. And just start and have a good conversation with her is the best way to do that. And so, you know, and then from that point, you can ask her, like, again, the question, what do you believe? And then a big question I like to ask people is, well, what if you're wrong? You know, what if what you believe isn't true? You know, what if what you believe doesn't exist? Are you willing and are you ready to bet your eternal fate on this belief system? And if she's not, then it opens up a door for you to share with her the true love of Christ, to share with her the truth of who Jesus is, to share with her some of the things that you've been learning from that book that I told you about with Josh and Sean McDowell, The Unshakable Truths, and why our belief in the Christian faith is based on factual evidence. And so that can bring up some great resources and help for you in that area.
Yeah, and I would also say this stuck out to me because my wife and I actually, we attended this marriage conference this last weekend, and we're learning, you know, how to communicate better with each other and things like that. And my wife is very much so an introvert, and I'm very much so an extrovert. And I honestly learned a whole lot about the way to speak or not to speak to an introvert. So you as a leader, I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume as a leader who loves to talk and who is calling in and had a lot of questions and talk, that you're probably more of an extrovert. And, this girl who seems very, very quiet may just well be an introvert. And so I wouldn't necessarily try and break her out of her shell, because she may just be quiet, and that actually that's not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, she's not there in the conversation or if she's not opening up necessarily. Don't try and grab a can opener and force her open, because if anything, with introverts, all it's going to do is make them nervous.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think you still can show her love and invite her to coffee and do that kind of thing, because, you know, you can show her that you're someone that she can talk to.
Yeah, exactly. So by being an ear for her, being there for her, as Nate said, taking her and being her friend, that's going to really cultivate that relationship to where she may feel more comfortable with you. Maybe she just doesn't feel like opening up, you know, and it's not necessarily a bad thing if she's not wanting to open up just yet. So continue to cultivate that and grow a relationship with
And you know, those questions that I told you to ask her, even if she doesn't answer it right away, at least it'll get her thinking about it. So,
absolutely.
You know, if you ask her, hey, what do you believe and why do you believe it? She might say, well, I don't want to talk about that, or I'm not really sure. And you can say, okay, that's fine. And then just let her think about it for a week, and then maybe it'll bring her to a place that she needs to be. You know, here's one of the books. I actually found one of them that I was thinking of. It's by an author named Ron Rhodes. He's a really, really, really great Christian apologist who reasons with cults, with other religions. Really great author. He has a book called Reasoning from the Scriptures with Mormons. So, I mean, it's pretty upfront about what that book's going to be about.
Right.
So pick up that book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Mormons by Ron Rhodes.
Okay.
And again, if it gets her to think and she's not necessarily in a place where she's really wanting to expound upon it or talk about it, that's okay. You've opened the door. Your job, I know a lot of times, especially in high school, it seems like, okay, I got to go out there. I got to get everybody saved because there's a bunch of debauchery and craziness going on in high school. And if I just flip the script and make everybody, you know, repent and turn to Jesus, and just convert everybody, then it'll be great. But that's not necessarily going, that's not going to happen. And so don't lose hope and don't be disheartened if the very first time you go to coffee, she's not super open or she doesn't immediately go, this is amazing. All right. Boom. Jesus it is. I'm downing Mormonism and I'm totally with you right now. Cause that might not necessarily happen. So don't be discouraged by that. Just continue to love her and continue to ask those questions and be her friend.
You know, and I think the best way to reason with someone of another faith, this is what I found. Due diligence to understand what they believe and what their belief system says.
Because it's important to them.
Because what happens is then you can say something. Because, again, I found a lot of times people, Mormonism, Muslims, they really don't know everything they believe. So you can start the conversation and say, hey, did you know that Joseph Smith taught this? And tell her something that Joseph Smith taught, a tenet of the Mormon faith, and say, do you know that's not true? Not just spiritually, but historically, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, then you could say, do you know that the Mormon faith believes this? And she might say, well, yeah, I do. And say, okay, well, what do you think about that? Do you think that's true? And, you know, if you show that you know about the Mormon faith, that can be really helpful in a conversation like that.
Yeah.
Hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. It's Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. We have one available now. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Or if, you know, maybe you're an introvert, you just want to email it to us. That's cool too. studio@mystaticradio.com. Speaking of introverted people, let's go to line two. Static.
Yeah, very introverted.
Yes.
What's up,
super.
Dude?
So-
Hola. What's up, man?
Hey, you know, it was just interesting. I had one of those nights last night where I was just awoken and immediately was just told, you know, just go read Paul. So I got up, got my Bible, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, there we are in the living room, and I started reading Paul. And it's just interesting, this last caller, last night what really stood out to me is that God himself shows us his love and his kindness through patience, which brings us to repentance.
Mm,
right.
Amen.
And it just, everything she was just saying just brought me to what, how Paul just illustrates. He brings it across the point so perfectly of how God deals with this topic, you know, with us, with all of us, which is, you know, I'm going to be patient with you and I'm going to love you. I'm going to demonstrate my kindness and my absolute unwavering love to you through my patience with you. And eventually in that moment, when we come to that moment, when we discover, wow, look at how short I am on this. Wow. Or you get it and you're like, I should have got this a long time ago. But in those moments, you absolutely can love and appreciate God's love for you. Mm-hmm. And everything I was just listening to just really brought that back to me from reading last night. So I think Paul does a really good job in scripture of bringing that message across, God's love, you know, and we as friends, when we're dealing with friends or anybody in these particular sorts of circumstances, can take it back to scripture right there. And it's a great example.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, love you guys, man.
Love you too, Shane.
Thanks, Shane. God bless,
guys,
buddy.
Later.
505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. We got,
you know, Paul does do a pretty good job writing scripture. He's a pretty good scripture writer.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Oh, okay.
Completely serious.
Yeah, no.
Better job than me.
Right.
I haven't written any scripture.
Oh, man. That guy.
Dude, imagine being that, like, hey, so what do you do? I'm an author. What do you write? I wrote the scripture.
I wrote God's word.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
He thought that I was the dude for the job. So, yeah.
He was like, hey, I want you to write this, you know, little book. It's about me. It is pretty much the inherent truth.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Goodnight Moon? Yeah, that was me. It's just a book I love.
I write a blog sometimes, talking about comics.
Shut up! 505-338-3700.
As a matter of fact, Jesus, I want to pitch this idea to you. So, you know, you're Jesus Christ, and that's kind of like Christmas with his X-mas, and you're a man, so you're X-man. Are you Professor what do you think? I just want to throw up. Take it or leave it.
Wolverine.
You can use it if you want to. It's, you know, whatever you want to do.
I remember when I was a kid and everybody used to freak out over X-mas because it was like, no.
And you're like, X-man.
Like, actually, biblically speaking, never mind. We're not getting into that. 505-338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing this right. Hey, I wanted to ask a question about the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm from a small town, and there's a lot of churches who speak about Christ's resurrection, but when they speak it and when they say it, it doesn't really line up with Scripture.
Huh.
Yeah, like certain denominations.
Okay.
Yeah, so you used to be able to attend to a church. It was all charismatic church. And that they were talking about how Christ's resurrection was a spirit body.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's not scripturally accurate.
Because I was doing some studying on my own. And had another brother who would who had patience with me to be able to show me scripture, to be able to say, hey, you know what, that denomination that you're going to doesn't really quote what scripture says accurately.
Does any denomination get everything right?
No, they don't. But to say that Christ rose from the dead in a spirit body is not
really
just
weird.
That's just not like, oh, we can agree to disagree. That's an errant belief.
Well, I have a question.
You know what that's called? It's called Gnosticism. Is what that belief is called, and it's something that Paul dealt with in his day as well. And Paul actually talks about it extensively, about the literal body of Christ being risen from the dead, because the Gnostic view is that he rose in spirit and that he had a spirit body. And so a huge part of the Gnosticism isn't just with the resurrection of Christ, but the life of Christ. You know, the Gnostics believed that Jesus, you know, basically it came down to, is he all God or is he all man? And they kind of went to this really mystic idea that he was more of a spirit than he was an actual human being. Huh. You know, now as far as the resurrection, we go simply just to the New Testament Gospels, and we have scenarios where Jesus appeared in flesh to Thomas, for instance, and Thomas touched physically the wounds on his hands and the wound on his side. He physically felt his flesh. You know, we see Jesus physically having a meal with the disciples on the seashore when he appears to them, physically eating. It's not like he's like Casper the Friendly Ghost and like he eats food and it comes out of slime in the bottom. Like, no, he physically is eating food.
Yeah.
And so we don't see any signs within the New Testament about Jesus being raised to a spirit body, but him being raised to a physical body. Now, I will say this, that physical body has capabilities that our physical bodies don't have. And so a lot of people will reference the physical body of Christ as a similar idea of what our resurrection physical body will be.
Our perfected
when
body.
We die and we go to heaven, we're not going to be floating ghosts. We're going to have physical bodies. But those physical bodies are going to be incorruptible physical bodies. They're going to have capabilities that our physical bodies right now don't have. And so it's important to recognize the difference between, you know, a physical body that a lot of us think we're going to go to heaven and be like angel ghosts. That's not going to happen. We're going to have true physical bodies. Think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had incorruptible bodies.
Yeah.
And their bodies weren't spirit ghosts, but they were physical bodies. And so when we look at Jesus, Jesus was able to walk through walls, we see in the New Testament. We see that Jesus was able to travel very, very vast amounts of land and miles in a very, very quick fashion. So we see the limitations that our bodies have, Jesus doesn't have, but it is physical.
And that's where we get the term X-Man. Okay,
Oh my gosh. Dude, that was so hard. There's that stupid beeping in the background. Nah,
I know. So, well, here was my big question, though, because you started off saying, hey, I have a question, and then just started trashing other denominations. So I was wondering if you had a question.
Well, you know what I mean? That's the thing, you know, when it was at I wasn't really bagging on the denominations.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was just more like what they said, and
so
I was like, that just left me haunted, you know what I mean, from that. I was like, oh, man, you know what I mean? So, well, I got this one brother, like I was saying, told me about some scriptures and what Christ actually said in Luke 24, chapter 24, verse 38 and 39, you know, he said, in his word, you know, look at my hands and, you know, look at my feet, it is I myself, for a ghost have not flesh and bones.
Wait, yeah. What was that?
Luke 24. I was going there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so we see, but again, we see this physical body, this true flesh and bone. We see this, and again, Paul talks about it extensively, and I would do some research on some of those verses where Paul talks about the humanity of Christ and the flesh and bone of Christ and the resurrection, the physical resurrection. Yeah. You know, Paul talks about that. He talks about the physical resurrection, which is a sign to the spiritual resurrection. He uses the physical resurrection of Christ as an example for our resurrection from the dead. He says, just as Christ physically rose from the dead, so God will call forth with the trumpet sound and the dead will physically rise in him. You know, so he's talking about this physical resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a solid place, obviously. That's what you were referencing, Luke chapter 24. And I mean, that in and of itself right there, I don't care what translation you're using, very clearly states that he had flesh and bones, and they saw that he ate. So, definitely good on you for being a Berean and digging back into scripture and not just taking everything word for word from the pulpit.
Yeah, and well, yeah, that's one thing, you know what I mean? That's like I was saying, you know, I'm a small town, and that, you know, I mean, here's what the, you know, nearest church is doing down the road, you know, type of deal. I'm like, I don't care about, you know, the person you give me a card to, they'll invite me. You know, if it's not going to line up with scripture, then I don't even want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Hey, amen. We, you know, that's so important to find a Bible teaching church that truly teaches the Word of God and what the Word of God actually says.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Right on, man. Thank you for the call.
All right. You have a good one, brother.
You too. Which kind of like full circle comes back around to what we were talking about with Son of God, which is maybe why some people are up in arms because they're seeing this film and going, well, that doesn't line up. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
This didn't happen.
So here's a big one. 1 Corinthians 15:12. This is one of the verses that speaks about the physical resurrection of Christ. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Right.
But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, and if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a huge verse that talks about the physical resurrection of Christ. And it continues on through all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it talks about him being man and man coming down in flesh, and man also came the resurrection of the dead. And so, I mean, it's a really, really important verse to talk about.
Absolutely.
And the reason we know it's speaking of physical resurrection because he references Adam and he says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You know, when Adam sinned, it wasn't a spiritual death that was the consequence. It was a physical death.
Right.
He said, you're physically going to die now. Not, well, spiritually you're going to die. No, he said, physically you're going to die because of this sin. And so Paul is speaking of this physical death and this physical resurrection.
Yeah, and that is something as we near Easter, you get to see stupid documentaries on the History Channel or different places where people want to, in essence, take away the resurrection or want to disprove it. And I will say, coming up in just a few short weeks, Theology Thursday, Pastor Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon, we are devoting an entire hour to the not just biblical accuracies, but the historical accuracies and the evidences that we have that we can point to prove the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I'm looking forward to that because as we draw near to Easter, this becomes something that is a hot button issue. People want to talk about, people want to disprove. So, yeah. I'm glad we're talking about it.
This is great, too. I just want to reference this as well for this guy who called. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, it says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body shall that shall be, but mere grain. Perhaps wheat or some other grain." Okay, that's confusing for some people. But here, this is what it says, verse 38. "But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, and another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun." So he's talking about the differences between these, and he says, verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown..." Let's see. Sorry, I'm getting confused. I'm skipping around.
That's okay.
Anyways, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Boom, there it is. All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we are taking your email questions as well. studio@mystaticradio.com. I know we got an email question earlier.
Yeah.
If we want to go to that now. Yeah.
I've recently been saved, and I've never been happier.
Nice.
So today I had one of my employees laugh at a table that she served because they prayed before they ate. That made me so upset, and it hurt my feelings for those people. But I didn't say anything to her about it. Even before I was saved, I never laughed or mocked anyone for expressing their faith. What is your opinion on how to handle this? So I would handle it like I would handle one of my employees laughing or mocking any person at a table, whether they were Christians, non-Christians, Muslims, whoever they were, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable for any employee, anyone at a restaurant, to laugh or mock at somebody, for beliefs that they have. And so I would say, in that situation, I would sit down, I would talk to her, and I would say, if I ever see that again, you're going to be fired. That is unacceptable. I have a hard time. I would almost even just say, hey, I'm going to let you go for that. You know, because that's not someone that you want working for you and representing your restaurant.
Right.
And again, for me, the issue here isn't that they laughed and mocked a Christian. It's that they laughed and mocked. If you told me this story and they said, you know, I had a family, they were Muslims and they prayed before they ate, and one of my employees laughed at them, I'd say, same thing.
Or
you
mocking
know?
The attire or maybe the way, yeah.
Yeah, there's no place for that because as Christians, we're called to show love to all people. It doesn't mean we have to agree with all people. We're supposed to show love to all people. And so the issue here is that's just bad business. Apart from just being, bad spirits, that's just bad business to do that. There's no place for that in the workplace. There's no place for that in a business. So that's the approach I would take on it.
I mean, that's it. I concur. I have nothing to add other than you're right. If you, as a Christian, if a Christian waiter, let's say a Christian waiter went back and was making fun of like a Muslim or another, somebody else for the way that they prayed or the whatever attire they had for religious reasons, man, I would.
Now manager, I will say this. Oh, I want to, the way it sounds like in the email, it sounds like she was laughing at them and it hurt their feelings. They saw it, that she was mocking them. That is what I would fire somebody for. Now, let's say she went back and she was in the kitchen and she was, you know, mocking them with the other waitresses. That's still not okay. And for that, I would have a conversation with her and say, there's no place for that. You know, that's not, that's inappropriate behavior. If you do it again, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah.
You know, or if you do it again, I'm going to write you up or whatever that is. But if she actually laughed at their faces, they saw it and they were offended by it, then I think that's grounds for immediate termination.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And you know, can we expound upon this? Can we talk about this? Because we as Christians do have an obligation, and there's so many times, where we as Christians will see somebody of a different faith, and tend to head to mocking or making fun. Man, like the girl who called in high school whose friend is a Mormon and they don't have the same beliefs. We talked a little bit about the approach, and yes, we need to tell the truth and speak the truth in love to them. But say we're walking down the street and we see something like that. As a Christian, what is our duty? What is our obligation? And how do we in turn respond to people of other religions if we have encounters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is our obligation? Because I know a lot of times it's, we want to mock, we want to make fun, or we want to make light of it and say, well, your religion's full of lies. Because that's the way to get them to want to seek Jesus.
I think it's all about, I think that we have this fundamental idea within not just Christian thinking, but human thinking, that if we show someone why they're wrong, that that's going to make them agree with us. And so we have this like lawyer mentality that if we debate with somebody, we can get them to see our view.
Right.
And it happens from when you're a little kid. You know, you argue with your friends about, you know, comic books or, yeah, no, this is what's happening. No, and you fight about it and you're trying to get each other to view your side. But one thing that we found is that that's never effective, because you can get someone to believe, but they might still be angry at you and they're not going to accept it through faith the truth.
Yeah.
So I think the best situation is just to have conversations with people. If you come across someone who has a different view, don't automatically just tell them why they're wrong, why their view is wrong, and I've read these books and this is why you're wrong. Have a conversation with them. Again, yeah, be equipped and know the truth, but have a conversation with them. Ask them, hey, what do you believe?
Yeah.
And why do you believe that?
Yeah.
And ask those kind of questions and hear what they believe. And what's going to happen is you're going to have opportunities through that conversation to share the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen naturally. It's not going to be forced. And it's going to be much more effective.
Because if somebody adheres to any worldview, regardless of what the religion is, obviously, if they are truly walking in whatever religion it is very intimate. It is very personal to them. And mocking it and making fun of it, you're making fun of a family member. You're making fun of something that they care deeply about, and that will never go over well. I don't care who you are. It just won't go over well because you're
not
attacking
even,
something that's very personal to them.
Not even just mocking. Arguing with them,
yeah,
won't be effective.
Yeah.
This isn't one thing you got to understand. If someone can be argued into heaven, they can be argued out of heaven.
Mm.
If they approach an atheist who is just as antagonistic as you were with them, and they present all the reasons why Christianity isn't true, and they argue with them, and they only give this one-sided view, then they're going to be able to be argued and swayed out of that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
So you never want to argue somebody into a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
You want to show them the love of Christ. You want to show them the evidence of Christianity, and then you want to let them make a decision, because if God has called them, they're going to accept Christ.
Okay. Right on. We have the phone lines are jammed. I'm hearing I need to take line two right now. So I'm going there. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm the one that wrote the email in.
Oh, awesome. Okay, perfect.
The approach I took on it was I just told her, you know, you don't need to be rude like that. She didn't do it in front of them. She did it when I came back.
Okay.
And it was a little boy that was, they were talking and they were talking about church and he was talking about what he had learned and talking to his mom, I think she was. And she was laughing at them and she tells me, oh, you need to wait until they're done praying. You got to wait to go take them their food because they're praying. And so I got really upset and I have a really short fuse and I'm trying to work on that. So that's why I had just finished listening to Shock Therapy last week and that's when it happened. And, and so,
yeah, so, you know, in that situation, if it wasn't in front of him, I would have talked to her and I would basically explain to her what customer service is. You know, I wouldn't approach this from a biblical perspective talking with her. I'd simply approach it from a good business ethics mentality. And I'd say, look, you've got to understand that we are called to serve people in this job. We're called to put their needs above our own. And there's Christian principles there, but those Christian principles carry great business ethics. You know, I think anyone who's in the food business should have this idea of putting someone else's needs above your own. And that's a biblical principle. But I would explain some of those things to her. And I would say, there's no place for mocking. There's no place for jeering. And if it happens again, I'm going to write you up.
Yeah.
I would almost be, you know, let her know what good business looks like and then let her know that, you know, it doesn't have to be, well, you know, you're going to get fired, but you can just say, if you do it again, I'm going to write you up. You know, there's no place for that at this job.
Yeah.
Right.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thanks for emailing in. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
505-338-3700. We have an email question we just got. We got a phone line. So let's – we've got about 7 minutes of show. Let's try and get through this. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yeah, or she could just, like, take her in the back and slap her a couple times.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I was going to just throw in something real short.
Okay.
I used to deal with that a lot. I used to – I mean, I have – you know, did people see me and they'll see, like, you know, this guy's got Vans on, no socks, you know what I mean, tattoos.
Right.
And they're like, oh, wow, and he leans over with my wife and son, and, you know, when we're out in public, we'll go out. We pray for our food just because we are grateful. I do that as a respect, you know, because I am grateful that God blessed me with the finances to treat my wife and my son out to something. And it got to the point where when I was younger, I used to be real ashamed about, not ashamed of God, but I would be embarrassed for myself because people would laugh or people would look like, oh, look at him. And, you know, but it's really, I think it all comes to terms too with your identity and who you are in Christ. If you're secure and you know that, yes, I understand you'd be offended because you see that and you catch that. But also, what's making that, what about that is funny to that person?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like maybe kind of, I would have kind of, if they're coworkers and they're, you know, they work together, I'm sure they have some kind of a rapport together. They, you know, maybe even ask, you know, what about that was funny to you, just so I can understand why you laughed. And maybe it was just a simple thing of somebody else doing it, and so she just caught on to the same behavior, and she thought, oh, I'm going to be cool and funny. You know what I mean? And then there's that door open there, so where you can actually plant that seed and start to talk to her about it, and then who knows, maybe she had it all wrong.
And this is the thing. Everyone has beliefs, whether they're religious beliefs or not.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be ridiculed or mocked for their beliefs. I mean, like, what if this lady was like, I don't have a spiritual background, but I really love animals, and I think animals should be cared for. And what if you, like, laughed at her? Oh, that's so stupid. Animals just, they don't have a soul. That's dumb. And you laughed at her for that. She'd feel bad for that, you know? So people don't want to be mocked for their views.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are great, man. Thank you. You guys, I love hearing your guys' show all week long, dude.
Thanks,
I love
Static
Radio. You guys rock.
Right on. Thank you, man.
All right, man. God bless.
All right. 505-338-3700.
So, hey, they asked the question, so I'm going to read it on air so that they can be embarrassed by their question.
Thebes, TJ, and Bill Peterson
asked a very important question. Will we poop in heaven? First question. Number two, did Jesus ever have diarrhea?
Okay.
And number three, I'm not going to read that one because...
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay, that's fine.
It's kind of a...
All three of them, I'm like, wow, really? I totally...
It's the musings.
I saw that we got an email. I didn't see who it was from, and I didn't see the questions beforehand, so I referenced it. Thanks, Teej. So, gosh. Perfected body thing.
Yeah.
It's not found in scripture, so I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Now, I have been to Israel, and I have eaten Middle Eastern food, so I think there's a good chance that Jesus probably had diarrhea at some point in his life. Luckily,
you answered it.
Luckily, there's not a passage in the Bible. It's like, and Jesus was amongst the crowd, and he was feeding the 5,000, and then he had eaten some bad fish earlier in the day, so we had to run into a cave.
Right. Yeah. However, you know
that's
what?
Not in the Bible.
This does speak to his humanity.
Yeah.
So the answer would be yes. He
totally.
Was a human. 100%.
He got sick.
Yeah.
He experienced all the maladies that we experience.
Absolutely. And so you know what? Funny man. Answer is yes. He did, probably.
Yeah.
He was a human being. Anyways.
Will we poop in heaven? Maybe, I bet it will smell nice.
Yeah, I just doubt it.
I don't know.
Think so.
We don't know.
Oh, stupid questions. 505-338.
There's no stupid questions.
Yeah, that was a stupid question.
Oh, okay.
No? Okay, cool. So, Shock Therapy Live, we do this week in and week out. I want to say something. You know, we get a lot of people that call in. We get a lot of people that download the podcast week in and week out, and for that we say thank you so much for supporting us with your ears. I would also like to say we're a listener-supported station. We're non-commercial. We're on this really beautiful campus. But did you know KLYT 88.3 FM is actually its own 501c3? We are our own nonprofit organization. And so we do need support. We need help. And, if you love Shock Therapy Live, cause we get emails regularly that are, it's so uplifting and so encouraging to us to continue to do what we do. But if you're at a place where you want to take that next step and you want to really become a part of the team, we need financial help here at Static Radio. So
yeah, And this is the thing. We don't say this because we're like, man, we really need your money.
Right.
We say this because we want you to be a part of the blessing
yes.
that Static Radio is.
Yeah.
Every week we hear these incredible stories about God doing awesome things in people's lives. We see people come to Christ. We see people leaving sin. We see this reaching a group of people that normally would never be reached by the truth of Jesus Christ. And we want you to take part of the blessing of that.
Yeah.
And when you give financially and you get behind that work, you are a part of the blessing that this ministry has upon people's lives. In the same way that tithing to a church and giving to a church, you're a part of the blessing and the ministry that church does. When you give to Static Radio, you're showing us and you're showing the city and the community that you believe in the vision and you want to get behind the blessing of helping these people around Albuquerque. So if you're blessed by this ministry, we would love you to be a part of it and truly be a part of the ministry that the Static Radio is and does.
Amen. I love it.
All Amen.
Right. Hey, don't forget, it is Wednesday, so we are one day away from Renovate. What's going on downtown tomorrow?
Yeah, man, we're in our series Checkmate, going through the book of Matthew. So we're in Matthew 6 right now. So
all right.
Come on out, check it out. We have great worship, fun yeah. time. Thursday night, 7:30 at the Lobo Theater.
There you go. RenovateABQ.org for details on that. You can catch this dude live. He's less funny.
No, that's true. It actually is true.
It's incredible. It could change your life. Make sure you check it out if you got nothing going on Thursday nights. RenovateABQ.org. That is it for us. Catch the podcast online at mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.